And as you're seated, take your Bible and go to Galatians, the third chapter. We begin reading in verse 1. Thank you, Brother John, music team. And, grateful to God for you helping us lift high the name of the King. Welcome, all of you. Glad that you're here. First time in a long time. Other people, thank you for being in this place. Those online with us today, those in our Warrington group, don't forget men are going to be down there Thursday night in our ordinary men's gathering, not here, but there. And we'll have a great time there on Thursday evening, so don't forget that. Galatians chapter 3, part 2 of Walking by the Spirit, Paul's battle cry that we started last Sunday and we continue today and we go into it next week as well. Galatians chapter 3, I began reading in verse 1, read through verse 5. You follow along and listen because this now is the word of the Lord. You foolish Galatians. Well, Paul, he's just trying to make and impress people, be friends to everybody. You bunch of fools, who bewitched you? There's a few of y'all in here old enough to know about that old television show. You moved your nose back and forth. Now, if you never heard of it, don't worry. That just makes you a young person, all right? Who bewitched you? Before whose eyes Jesus Christ was publicly betrayed as crucified. This is the only thing I want to find out from you. This only thing I want to know, Paul said. Did you receive the Spirit by the works of the law or by hearing with faith? What's the answer to that?
Hearing of faith.
Works of law didn't do it. Are you so foolish? Having begun in the Spirit, you're now being perfected by the flesh? Did you suffer so many things in vain, if indeed it was in vain? So then, look at verse 5. Does he who provides you with the Spirit and works miracles among you, did he do it by the works of the law or by hearing with faith? Hearing with faith. Verse 3, are you so foolish, so silly, so easily led astray that you started this walk called Christianity in the Spirit that now you think you will perfect it, you'll be brought to maturation by the best you can do in the flesh? Oh, God forbid. Everyone in this room is either a fool or faith-filled. Either foolish or walking in spirit fullness by faith. There are three kinds of people, three classes of people in this room. There's the natural man, that's a lost man, never been saved, may be good in the eyes of others, but you're going to die and go to hell because you've never named the name of Christ. That's the natural man. We all come into this life in the natural realm lost. Then when a man gets saved, he becomes a redeemed man, but the Bible says there are two kinds of redeemed individuals. There are those that are fleshly, are carnal, and then there are those that are the spirit man. He goes in Galatians chapter 6, when you read the first verse of chapter 6, he says, ye who are spiritual, and that's what he's praying, that we would all be. So you're one of those three things. You're the lost. If you're lost in here today, I beg you in Jesus' name, come to the cross and get saved today. Amen. Come to Jesus. And if you have come to Jesus, thank God that he dwells in you. And if you are saved, I pray that today you'll come to surrender of whatever God's calling you to do so that you would be filled with the Spirit of Almighty God and walking forward, not in the flesh, but in the spirit. One man I read illustrated this way. He said, if you lined up every member of your church, we could put all the Olive people right here, and we put them on the shoreline of a lake and said, get to the other side. He said, there are two avenues, and I read the illustration. I thought, well, there's probably three, but he used two. He said, you can either get in a boat and row as hard as you can go, or you can get in a boat and lift the sail and let the breath of nature blow you across. He uses that illustration to say everybody in the church is either rowing as hard as they can to do what God's called, or they've lifted their sail so that they can catch the Spirit of God and live in the fullness of the Spirit. Now, it doesn't mean you don't have anything to do in a sailboat. It just means you're not the engine. Another man I read this week said, you take a guy that he's a train engineer, he can move that train engine one or two ways. He can get himself and everybody else he knows out behind it and push it. And he said, not going to go very far, very fast, if at all. Or he said, you can get your hand on the throttle and let a different energy move that train. And he says to the Galatians, you're a fool if you're trying to live the Christian life in your own strength and muscle. And he says, therefore, walk by the Spirit. We find that last week in chapter 5 and verse 16. So I want to say three things this morning. I really don't know where I'm going. I know my outline is, but when I get to the third part of this, which will be the longest part of this, it's according to how you're listening as to where we go and to how long we stay, all right? So I want you to see three things with me this morning. I want you to get these three truths, and I want to kind of drive down in number three. Number one, in this text, we find a saved man is a temple of God. You have begun in the Spirit. 1 Corinthians 6 and verse 19 asks, don't you know that your body is a temple of the Holy Spirit who is in you, whom you have from God, and that you are not your own? See, when you get saved, you're lost, and the Spirit of God comes to live in you, and you become the tabernacle of God. The Spirit of God lives in you. Now listen to me. Just because the Spirit of God indwells you does not mean the Spirit of God infills you. You can have a dwelling but not be filled. You can have water in the cup, but it's not running over. But if you're saved, the Spirit of God is in you. You are body, soul, and spirit. We know that we're flesh, we're body. We come into this world with a body, and we have a soul. Our mind, will, and emotion makes that up, and we walk in that. And then we are dead in our spirit. But when the Spirit of the living God comes to save you, and He enters into you and He dwells in you. He literally raises you from the dead in your spirit. You are dead and God raises you up and you are born again and you are saved by the Spirit of God. You are born then of the Spirit. You've been born of the flesh and now you've been born of the Spirit. And a saved man, now get this, if you're saved in this room, matter of fact, if you're saved, you think you're saved, you hope you're saved, say amen. All right, if you're saved and you're not lying to me, the Spirit of God lives in you. You are a temple of the Spirit of God, according to 1 Corinthians 6, 19. Second thing I want you to see this morning is not only is a saved man is a temple of God, a saved man is transformed by God's glory. Now, when you get saved and the Spirit of God lives in you, then that Spirit that is in you, that person of God that is in you, will, from glory to glory to glory, He will transform you. We find that in 2 Corinthians 3 and verse 18. Where Paul says, but we all with unveiled face, beholding as in a mirror the glory of the Lord, are being metamorphosis. It's the same word of when a fuzzy caterpillar is turned into a beautiful butterfly. That we are being transformed into the same image from glory to glory, just as from the Lord, the what? Say it out loud, the what? The Spirit. You see, it's the Spirit of God. When the Spirit of God is in you, the Holy Spirit is the cause of transformation, while the experience of glory and reality of Christ is the effect of this change. When God saves you, He doesn't want you to stay just like you are, but the Spirit of God is in you, and from glory to glory to glory, every time God deals with you, it's a touch of glory and a touch of glory and a touch of glory, and He's changing and He's transforming you. Things that you don't even get under conviction about for a while, then God touches that and you say, oh Lord, and you got to walk in that, and God's growing you up and He's transforming you. Not by the best you can do, He's transforming you by the glory of His Spirit. You remember Paul, the man that wrote this, he gave his testimony three times in the book of Acts. When you come to the 22nd chapter, he gives his testimony and he adds this line that he doesn't give in chapter 9 or chapter 26. But in chapter 22, he gives this where he says he's walking down the road and a bright light blinded him. Voice of God spoke to him. And Paul doesn't reveal this in the other two testimonies, but he does in chapter 22 and verse number 10. And I said, what shall I do, Lord? Now, friend, that's the question you need to be asking God. You don't need to ask your pastor, though I'll give you counsel, and you ought to have counselors. You don't need to ask your spouse, though it's always good to hear their opinion. But when the bottom line comes, you need to ask the Lord, what shall I do? Let me tell you, God's got a plan for every step of your journey. And He is the cause of the transformation that comes in your life, while the experience of God's glory, you knowing Him, and the reality of Christ becomes the effect in your life that brings the transformation into our life, so that we are changed from glory to glory to glory to glory. See, if you've been saved, how many of you have been saved over 20 years? Look at that. Let me tell you, you ought not be the same you were 10 years ago. Certainly not 15 or 20. See, God's working in us. From glory to glory to glory to glory to glory to glory. And He's transforming us. Some of y'all are looking like a caterpillar when you ought to have some wings. That's the transformation of God. He brings the beauty of Christ within our life. A saved man is transformed by God's glory. And then thirdly, where I want to park for a few minutes this morning, is that a saved man. Now, man, I'm so confused. I don't know. Now, you know when I say a saved man, I mean a man or a woman, don't you? Okay, you know that. I mean, they taught me in school all my life that masculine meant all of us, okay? So individual, if I need to say it for you, I don't mean to hurt your feelings. Or say woman or man. I don't know. I'm so confused. Sometimes I just want to go to bed and never get up. Just like, what? They've just taken all my words away from me. But a saved person, individual, male and female, and God knows if we go there. A saved individual is to walk in spirit fullness. That's how you're supposed to walk. Ephesians 5:18. You've heard me on this over and over and over, but I give it to you again. Do not get drunk with wine. There's a whole series of sermons there. Sure. No one would have gotten drunk last night and come to the 11 o'clock service today. Sure. Don't get drunk with liquor. That's dissipation. But be plaruo onumos. Be plaruo, plethora, full, to running over. Onumos. The pneuma is the breath of God. And just as liquor can control your life and you are changed Don't do that. But be filled with the Spirit. Now, that verb, be filled, I've taught you this before, but I want you to see it again. That verb is in the present tense, so that means that you should be filled when? Now, present. Okay? It's in the present tense. It's in the imperative mood. That's a command. You're supposed to do it. I know a lot of Baptists that were born in the kickative mood, but you're supposed to be here in the imperative. It means command. So if you're not full of the Spirit of God right now, you're walking in sin. You're in sin because it's a command of God. God said love one another, and you say, well, I hate each other, I'd be sin. Well, I mean, if you don't do what God tells you to do, you're walking in sin. So present tense, now, imperative mood, command, it's a passive, don't miss it, it's a passive voice, which means you cannot fill yourself, you only can empty yourself, and there must be another that acts upon you to fill you. You empty and God fills. That's where you come to surrender. It's where the old song says, I lift my cup, Lord, I lift it up. Fill my cup, Lord. And we are in the passive voice, but it is also a continuous action. This could better be translated, be being filled right now forever. You don't just get filled one time and it's over. You get saved one time. But now the filling of God comes again. It's like a pipeline running into you. And it's flooding you. I tried to think this week of how to illustrate this, and I came up with this. When I was a little boy, I used to go to my granddaddy's house, had a five-room house, and you could have put it on this stage up here. It was a back porch with a well where we'd draw water. You come into the kitchen where grandmother would make baked apple pie, and you walk through there to the kitchen and then into another little room, and then there was a front room and a little bedroom. And in the summer, we'd go there in August, and I'm telling you right now, forgive me if this offends you, but it's hotter than Hades in that house. And I'm just telling you, it is as hot in there. I mean hot. Granddad raised the windows, and they put a box fan in there, and it'd blow through, but all it'd do, blow hot air. Man, it's hot. So my father bought a window unit. And he put that window unit in that little house, and you click it on, and ooh, that cold air come in there, and you cool it down. But now grandmother would shut up all the doors to the other rooms. And if you walk back in there, it's still hot, hotter than ever, because there was nothing in there. And in the one room where she had it blocked off, oh, it was nice. But if you went in the other room, God pity your soul if you went in the kitchen. She had the stove going in there. I think it burnt 24/7. I don't know, but I mean, it just. And you see, when God saves you, He puts that unit in your life, but until you start opening up all the other doors, you're not going to be filled. You got to open up the door so the cool breeze of the Spirit of God comes. And He knows that back closet He's looking for. I want to go in there. No. Well, let me tell you, friend, till you open every door, you're not going to be filled with the Spirit of God. You are indwelt because there's a fan blowing cool air out of a refrigerated unit, but you are not filled because you've shut off part of your life. And God says, I want that social life. I want that school life. He comes. It's amazing to me. Some people say, well, I don't want to give that. God doesn't know. Friend, He knows what's. That's why He's knocking on the door. Some of you, it's your computer pornographic life. And friend, you're not going to walk in fullness if you're feasting on that stuff. And some of it's your financial life. You say, well, I give. Well, God, don't worry about you giving. He's owner of ALL. Some of it's your sports life. I was asked this week by a state executive evangelism director. He called and asked if I'd come preach at their state evangelism conference. I said, I'm honored to come, be honored to do it. I'll do it. I've got it open. It's a Sunday night. And so we were planning a little bit this week after I took that engagement. And I found out the NFL added a 17th football game to the season. And when they added a game, they moved back the playoff, and then they moved back the conference champion. Then they bumped back the Super Bowl. And they bumped it back to the same night I took this preaching deal. So I called the guy. I said, hey, we discovered it this week. And I said, it doesn't make any difference to me. I'm all in. I'll come. I'll preach to the three people that's there if you want me to come. And he said, oh, man, I didn't know about that. I said, it's just happened not long ago. And, you know, it, matter of fact, if you Google it, it'll tell you two different dates. But you got to find it out. And so they moved it back. And he said, let me work on it. I said, okay, well, I'm just all in. Either date, I'm good. I'll be there, you know. Then we started to get up and, get off the phone. And he said, one more question. He said, if I move it to the night of the college championship, are you still in? I said, well, you're getting nosy now. I'm just telling you, the Holy Ghost will go put his finger right on it. Amen. And friend, if you open all the doors, you're not going to be filled. And if you're not filled, you're walking in disobedience and sinfulness. And you'll never be changed from glory to glory to glory to glory to glory to glory. And the transformation will not come in your life until you've opened every door. Be ye plaruo. Filled. Well, the Spirit of God. That is the mind of God for every one of us. I have written over here in front of my Bible. I hadn't shared these with you in quite a while, but somebody asked me about them this week. I said, man, this just fits Sunday. So Evan Roberts was in the middle of revival in 1904, 1905 in Wales. And Evan Roberts said there were four points of emphasis. And when I read these, it's the qualifications for the Spirit-filled life. He said, this is when revival came in our church. And here they are. I put them up on the board for you. Leave on a little longer. I had a senior adult come to me after the first service. He said, Pastor, could you ask the technicians to leave it up a little longer? I write slow. So they're taking notes, so give them a little extra time. Number one, the past must be made clear by confession of every known sin to God and every known wrong to man. The first step is if you sinned against God, you need to take it up with Him. If you sinned against a fellow person, you need to take it up with them. You see, you got to deal with it, and it's got to be made clear. Secondly, Robert said every doubtful thing in the believer's life must be put away. If it's doubtful, eradicate it. You just, well, I don't know. Do away with it. Just doubtful, do away with it. Number three, he said, prompt and implicit obedience must be rendered to the Spirit of God. When the Spirit of God speaks, you promptly and implicitly obey. You do it right now and you do it all. You say, well, I'll kind of maybe half. No, not halfway. You go all the way in or you don't get in at all. Prompt and implicit obedience to the Spirit of God, when the Spirit of God speaks. And fourthly, Robert said, public confession of Christ must be made within and without the church. You got to do it inside the church. So when God calls you to get saved, you walk forward. You go to the baptistry like you saw these three here. If you've never been saved, you ought to come publicly. If you've never been baptized, you ought to come publicly. Set a time for us to do that. You come join this church. You go public. If you've wronged the church, you stand up and confess your sin unto the church. And you give it all. Amen. You go all the way. It's not like a cupcakery where you go and say, I want that, or that, and the rest of it I don't like. No, you take it all. You take all of it. Amen. I told a college kid I would work in the word cupcakery to my message this week. So I just did. So write a check. You get all in. Amen. And you make that public confession, then you do it outside the church. See, you come public within, and then Robert said, you got to go outside. You got to begin to confess him at school, at the ballpark, in the boardroom, on the job. Now, let me tell you that the Holy Spirit has one chief job. It is to make Jesus known. He came to make Jesus known. And when he's in you, he'll be making Jesus known through you. Now beloved, this is the step of faith everybody's got to take. If you're going to walk in the Spirit, it's a faith journey. Back in Galatians 3, verse 5, that we read earlier. Notice what he said. So then, does he who provides you with the Spirit, he gave you the Spirit, and he works miracles among you, does he do it by the works of the law or by hearing with faith? He does it by faith. You see, friend, if you're going to walk in the Spirit of God, then it's a faith move. See, the faith life is unique in the economy of God. There's no other place in the world where the faith life comes to dwell but in God's economy. And it, that is the faith life, it is the means whereby man is able to discover, watch this, you are able to discover the all of God and be persuaded, listen to me, and you'll be persuaded of the all of God and the insufficiency of yourself, thereby enabling you to trust the all of God. God can, you can't. The Bible says God can do it all and we can do nothing. You say, well, wait. No. There's not a but here. You can't do it. You can't do the Spirit life, not in the flesh, not even by the law. You do it by faith. You act as if it is so, when it's not so, and so it can be so. Faith is substance. That is the substance. Faith is. Faith has three elements. There's an intellectual, an emotional, and a volitional element to faith. When you're going to walk by faith, or first of all, there's an intellectual element. God tells you what to do. Forgive your brother that wronged you. Secondly, there is, if you know what to do, then there's the emotion that goes in you of saying, well, if I do this, what are they going to think, and what is he going to think, and what are they going to do? And emotion begins to eat you up. Then there's the volitional side. Intellectually, you know. Emotionally, you feel. Volitionally, you act. I think the greatest illustration of this is Peter in the boat. Peter's in that boat. And Jesus comes. And Jesus says, come to me on the water. Now, Peter knows in his mind what Jesus said. He intellectually knows. He's supposed to get out of the boat, a good fishing boat. Are you sure? Come on. And he's got the intellectual element. Now he's in the emotional element. If I go out there, and if I go under, old James and John's back in the boat, and they're going to be going, hey, fool. Then there was the volitional element. And he got out of the boat, and water became concrete. I mean, I'm just thinking, if this is me, I'm like two or three steps in there, and I'm going. I'm telling them old boys in the boat. Now listen to me. God didn't call James and John. He doesn't call of us to do the same thing by faith. He called Peter. He had the intelligence. He went through every emotion. And then he did the volitional thing, and he did well till he got full of himself and took his eyes off the Lord. And he said, well, here's the greatest thing. Jesus reached and got him. In your failure, God will not give up on you. What a Savior. What a Savior. When he sees faith falter, the Father is faithful. Hallelujah. And he picked him up. And some of you, God's telling you what you're supposed to do. And you say, Some of you, God's called to preach. And you know what you're supposed to do, but then you go through the emotion, well, I got to give that up, or I can't do that, or I got to go to school, or whatever. You know, what's my mama going to think? Then you got to make the volitional step. I don't know what God's called you to, but I'm telling you this, he's called you to obedience, and an obedient faith is fullness. Some of you called stay in the boat. Sometimes it takes more faith to stay in the boat and doesn't get out of it. Sometimes it takes more faith to stay here and it does go to the mission field. You don't do what everybody else does. You do what God calls you to do. You get a promise from God, walk through the emotion. And I'm telling you, emotion's good. You're going to have to deal with emotion. I mean, God gave us that. Hey, I got a deal I got to deal with tomorrow. And I got to act on it. 99% of you never know about it. But it's just, God gave me a promise Friday morning. I was just struggling with doing it. God gave me a promise right there out of the book of Proverbs. He said, this is it. What do I want you to do? I said, all right. And I'm still going through my, I don't want to because it's going to affect this or that. And, you know, I'm not crazy about it, but I know what I need to do. So I just got to get out to the boat. Now, next week, someday I'll get out there and you'll never even know about it. I mean, you know. But now when you're dealing with an issue, you need to hear God and you need a promise from God. Then you submit your emotions to God. Don't worry about what that other crowd's going to think. If you think they got your best interest at heart, they do long as you blessing them. You do long as you paying the bill. You just bring your emotion, say, Lord, I want what you want. Does that mean you got to bring your family to it and all that? I'm going to share with my family over lunch today about this decision. And then you get out of the boat. I say, well, what if I sink? You got a faithful Father. To a preacher, you ever been in the water and gone under? Not today. Not so far, but it's only noon. I did yesterday. But the Father. And when I fail, He teaches me about His glory and how He's transforming me to make me more like Jesus. My friend, if you're not more like Jesus than you were 20 years ago and you've been saved, number one, you're probably not saved. Okay? You're just probably playing a game. Some religious deal. If you can just walk into sin, it doesn't bother you. I'm telling you, the Holy Ghost is not in you. He'll wear you out. That doesn't mean you obey, but I'm telling you, you know. Because He's knocking on that back bedroom closet. He said, I want to let the air conditioning in here. And you're standing up there saying, no, can't have this. And then one day you finally open, and the wind of God comes in newness. And when that happens, you got a brand new high school student. Boom. Next year, not next month, that's May. A year from May, I'm having a party. I done been calling some of my high school buddies. 50th year from high school graduation. I said, we're having a get-together. And some of them said, well, I don't know if I want to do it. I said, oh, yeah, you want to come. I said, because if you don't come, we're going to talk about you. And the reason I want to do that, I got a lost faculty member I want one more shot at. I got some classmates that walked through revival with me in 70, 71, 72. I want us to rejoice about the faithfulness of God. Amen. I want to see what God's done in their life. Amen. What if God hadn't done something in 50 years? You hadn't got it. Most financially well-off guy in our whole class, a potato farmer. Son, there's money in those taters. If you do it right. He's my best friend out of my high school class. We've been talking. He may be watching this message. If he backslid and didn't go to church today. My text will rattle in just a minute if he's watching. Because we're buds. And we walk by faith together. And we're still walking by faith. Friend, God's knocking on the door, some of you guys. There's some men, women, young people in this room. God's knocking on that door. He said, I want you to. Because just me dwelling is not enough. I want to feel. So that you can walk by the Spirit. Call of God's about to be in this room. I'm going to pray. And we're going to stand. Going to sing. Somebody's here without Jesus, needs to get saved. Somebody's here today, needs to be baptized. Somebody's here that's drifted away from the Lord, needs to come running home to Jesus. Flow open the door. Well, I remember the day I did it. First time I ever threw open the door. I was sitting on that pew. Man, I grabbed that cap rail, that pew. I guarantee if you could go back, that old church is gone now, but if you go back that pew, you could still find enough evidence to convict me from fingerprints in that cap rail, that pew. Well, I was hanging on. God said, I want you to preach. I said, I don't want to do it. I got a plan. I got it all laid out. He said, you stink. You fool. You started in the Spirit. You think you can be perfected in the flesh? I said, I can. I'll be. I remember I said this. I said, Lord, if you'll just let me go coach where I want to coach, I'll give you 20% rather than 10. And friend, if you think you can barter with God, you are dumber than a stump. All right? Number one, he don't need your money. He wants your heart. Little did I know, Brother Garrett, he going to send me to this church, and I still going to have to give 20%. I said, Lord, I didn't get in this. He said, well, quit building those buildings, and you won't have to give all. I said, well, all right. Hey, wasn't it great we paid all this off and got it all shed with and done? Wasn't that good? Amen. I got a $2 million project I'm fixing to present. Amen. Yeah, we'll pay it in one Sunday. We'll get it done. Amen. We can do it. Telling you. Say, what is it? Just give me a little time. I got a word. I'm just going through my emotion right now, all right? And at the right time, we'll take that step. We'll get done what we need to do. Amen. Yeah. We'll do it. God's called us to be obedient to what he wants us to do. Some of you hiding in the back closet. You need to open the door. So let's stand as I pray. Father, thank you for saving little Miller in the early service. Lord, there's some people need to be saved in this service. Lord, I pray people come to this altar and they'd get right with you. Lord, I throw open every door of my life to you. Oh, wind of God, blow. Oh, wind. Fill us. Change us. In Jesus' name.